Are you looking for an athletic scholarship? You're in the right place. This is the Recruit Me Athletic Scholarship Podcast, the longest-running podcast on recruiting and athletic scholarships. We're here to help your family navigate the recruiting road all the way to an athletic scholarship. He's a recruiting expert and a dad of two college athletes. He has a wealth of experience to share. Here's Recruit Me CEO, Brent Hanks.
Welcome to episode 401 of the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. The Athletic Scholarship Podcast is the world's longest-running recruiting education podcast. The Athletic Scholarship will give you 15 minutes that will change your athletic scholarship future. This week, I got a text from a father of a high school athlete that reminded me of myth number one about athletic scholarships. These myths are part of the Recruit Me 3.0 Athletic Scholarship System Manual. There is a list in the Recruit Me 3.0 System Manual that include 10 myths and truths about those myths. Go to recruit-me.com to get your own Recruit Me 3.0 System Manual, workbook, and worksheets that will provide you with a DIY system that will save you time, money, and anxiety as you start and navigate your recruiting journey. The Recruit Me 3.0 system is only $39. Myth number one about recruiting is, if my child is good enough, the college coaches will find him or her. The truth in the Recruit Me 3.0 manual says, a very small percentage of high school student athletes receive scholarships because the coach happened to find him or her. Only the top line athletes, the top 100 or so nationally, receive enough national media recognition that they are automatically recruited without having to make an effort. The other 99 plus percent have to take initiative to contact schools where they may have interest. Most schools' recruiting budgets are limited, and coaches rely on you to contact them first. They don't have the time or the budget to travel around the country to see your student athlete compete. Videos, stats, references, and the like become key tools for the coach in the recruiting and evaluation process. Parents, you might think that it is too self-promoting to make the initial contact with a coach and to market your child. However, this is the norm. If you don't do it, other student athletes will get the scholarships because they and their parents have made the effort and received the attention. Coaches these days expect you to do this. It is an acceptable practice. Last week, a friend of mine texted me that his son was named to his high school's conference's all-conference first team for basketball and an all-district team. I had been to some of his games and watched his son play a few times this year and last year, and he certainly earned the All-Conference Award and the All-District Awards. His son missed his sophomore year because of an injury and had to give up his baseball career because of a shoulder injury. As his senior year started, the student-athlete didn't seem to have any aspirations to play basketball in college, and I'm not sure if he's fully sure he wants to play now. But when a kid has success, both the player and the parents get more excited about the possibilities on continuing their sports careers in college. As I've said many times, everyone has their own time frames and journeys in recruiting. My sons had different time frames on when they realized that they could play in college and that they wanted to play in college. Parker, my older son, a 2018 high school graduate, started talking about his options to play in college after his sophomore year high school season, and then in the summer between his sophomore and junior year of high school. He played for a junior Sun Belt team, Team Missouri, and he pitched against a team from Tennessee, with players a year older than him, and most, if not all, were committed to NCAA Division I baseball programs. Against Tennessee, Parker gave up one solo home run in three innings and came away with a higher feeling about his opportunity to pitch in college. He continued to pitch well in that tournament and the rest of the summer. That is when we started contacting college coaches. Parker's interest and desire continued to grow and develop that summer. Sutton, my younger son, a 2022 high school graduate, is now at the NAIA level, Columbia College, as an outfielder. His desire and realization to play in college developed in the middle of the summer between his junior and senior year of high school. Sutton's speed had made him a good high school and club team player in previous seasons, but his total game came together, his speed, his hitting, and his defense, and his arm strength merged. We started contacting college coaches after the first month of his junior year club season. Sutton's recruitment journey lasted from June to September, when he committed to Columbia College right at the first of his senior year. I bring up my son's experiences just as two examples of when their lights came on and when they started contacting college coaches. In my friend's text, he was questioning why no college coaches had contacted his son or his son's high school coaches. Why no local college basketball coaches at the junior college level or the NAIA level hadn't asked about him. That's why myth number one about athletic recruiting came to mind. As the truth about myth number one says, you must contact college coaches. Most colleges and college coaches do not have the time or the budget to find all the recruits they need. I guarantee you that Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, in the Big Ten Conference, never ever finds Parker Hanks, a crafty left-handed pitcher from Southwest Missouri, without Parker sending an introductory email himself, inviting the coaches to watch his video clips, and asking them to contact his showcase coach and come to Joliet, Illinois to watch him pitch. Parker sent 5 or 6 emails to different schools for that showcase, and one coach responded. Parker recruited colleges to recruit him. He made it easy for Northwestern to find him, find his information, and to contact him and his coaches. Sutton had a similar experience, where none of the 3 colleges that made him offers would have ever found him. All 3 of Sutton's visits were initiated by him contacting the coaches, sending his introductory email, his player profile, his videos, and his coach's information. Sutton recruited colleges to recruit him. It's great to be named on your all-conference team. That is a great honor and shows that you are a good player and have worked hard on your craft. But you can't depend on accolades to get a college coach's attention. Parker was honored with not only all-conference and all-district awards, but was named the Conference Pitcher of the Year his junior year and the Pitcher of the Week at the Junior Sun Belt in the 2017 summer. He had a pitching record his junior year of 8 wins and 0 losses. He posted a minute .86 ERA and tested to a 33 ACT test score. He was an honor student and an international baccalaureate student at Ozark. Parker was also an all-conference basketball player. With all of these accolades, just a few local college coaches contacted him. Parker had to reach out to colleges he was interested in and let them know about him and that he was interested in their program. As we talked to college coaches outside of our local area, some of them said many of the stats and accolades don't paint a full picture of a student athlete. Coaches outside your area may not know what kind of competition you play against. Not every stat tells the story either. Again, competition, style of play, and even who keeps the stats are questions that keep college coaches from leaning on those items only when recruiting or deciding to recruit you. Coaches are going to pay attention to your awards and your stats if you contact them personally. College coaches want to hear from you, the student athlete. They want to know the player and the person they will be dealing with for 2 to 4 or 5 years. Your high school or your club coach's word is important, but the contact from you, the student athlete, is the most important. Sutton's portfolio was not as extensive as Parker's. Sutton lost his sophomore year of high school baseball to COVID. He played mainly on the high school's JV team as a junior. He was not a full-time starter in his senior year of high school. Sutton used 2 summer seasons and his highlight videos and his performances at some showcases to prove that he could compete at the collegiate level. He highlighted and showed off his elite speed, his above-average arm in the outfield, and his good high school grades and ACT score to attract college offers. Again, I bring in my 2 sons' examples because of their differences in the recruiting paths, so you can see how one highly awarded high schooler may not draw college coaches' attention, and how both the boys use their self-marketing skills to get on a coach's radar. One more example is a friend and former teammate of Parker's on their high school basketball team, Quinn Nelson. Quinn was featured on the Athletic Scholarship Podcast on episodes 297 and 298. Quinn was a 3-year starter at Ozark High School. He won multiple all-conference and all-district awards and broke the Ozark High School 3-point shooting record. He was recruited by just 2 local colleges at the NCAA Division II level, but was not recruited outside our area. Parker, Quinn, and the Tigers got a chance to play in the Bass Pro Tournament of Champions in 2018. That is a tournament that's held on the Missouri State University campus and draws high-level high school and academy teams from all over the country. Players like Alonzo Mourning, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, John Wall, Lonzo Ball, Ben Simmons, and Tyler Hansbrough and more have played in the tournament. The teams in the 2018 Tournament of Champions that Ozark played were Oak Hill Academy, Christ the King out of New York, and Wasatch Academy out of Utah. Quinn averaged 25 points a game as the Tigers played well versus the eventual champions, Oak Hill, then beat Christ the King from New York and lost on a last-second tip-in, I think it was a foul, to Wasatch. Quinn made the all-tournament team too. In the podcast interview, Quinn said that he received no new interest from college coaches, only more interest from the few colleges already interested in him. So my question is, why wouldn't Quinn get more inquiries when he played against the highest level of competition in a tournament where college coaches are watching, and he's playing against 4- and 5-star players, and he is playing in front of 8,000 to 10,000 fans showing his shooting skills? Quinn went on to set school records at Division II Southwest Baptist University, records in games played, minutes played, free throw percentage, and three-pointers made in a career. And he just finished his first season of professional basketball in Germany. Because of Parker and Quinn's recruitments, or maybe I should say lack of recruitment, I got involved in educating student athletes and families about recruiting. Both Parker and Quinn ended up at good colleges, and colleges that fit both their academic and athletic needs. But I know in both households there were questionings and anxiety about if we were on the right track for the boys. Another question in my friend's text was why local college coaches hadn't contacted his son after having an award-filled season. Local coaches should know the local programs, the local levels of competition, and the local players that get press or awards, but many don't. Remember, most college coaches for your sport are in the middle of their own college sports season, so their time is very limited. They have their own team's practices, games, recruiting, and scouting of opponents. Many smaller colleges don't have big recruiting budgets and a big staff that may have a specialized recruiting coordinator. So one or two coaches may be doing all the jobs of a college coach, plus some college coaches teach classes, have fundraisers, and have a family of their own. The main point about depending on local college coaches to recruit you is don't. Don't bet on local college coaches to find you, and don't bet on any college coaches to just find you. Some may, but it is like betting on one number on the roulette wheel. A spin of the ball may fall on that number, but odds are very low. Bet on yourself and market yourself to college coaches at colleges and programs that fit you. If a college coach does pay you some attention, that doesn't mean that that coach, that college, or that sports program is a good fit for you. By contacting coaches, you raise the odds of getting recruited, and you raise the odds that you will find a good fit for you. Recruit colleges to recruit you. One of the many things that I have learned in the recruiting education world is that most families just expect the recruitment to just happen if the student athlete has a good or even a great high school or club season. They also feel that if their student athlete plays for a good program or against high-level competition, that coaches will just find them. College coaches do just find players, but it happens less than you think. You're in the sports world and you see athletes just have it. But most athletes have to put in the work. They have to learn the fundamentals. They have to hit the weight room and then hone their skills to be a good or a great player. You know how to work if you are a student athlete, so take your work ethic and put it to use in your recruitment. The RecruitMe 3.0 Athletic Scholarship System gives you all the steps to get on a college coach's radar and get an opportunity to play your sport at a college. It will help you get some athletic scholarship money, and maybe even a full-ride athletic scholarship. Go to recruit-me.com to get access to the RecruitMe 3.0 system for only $39. If you're not ready to spend $39, get the free recruiting power pack, also on the recruit-me.com website. If you have any questions about recruiting, email me, Brent, B-R-E-N-T, at recruit-me.com, or text me at 417-299-5577. Thank you for listening to this episode, episode 401 of the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. The Athletic Scholarship Podcast just celebrated its 400th episode last week, and it's the world's longest running recruiting education podcast, providing you a weekly 15-minute episode to help you answer recruiting questions and give you advice and resources to help you save time, money, and anxiety in your recruiting journey. Join me next Tuesday for another 15 minutes that will change your athletic scholarship future.